Welcome back to Talking Baseball with Bill Lasky, and my guest today is a TV analyst for the Atlanta Braves television network. 12-year baseball career, played with both the Giants and the Braves. Let's bring back Jeff Francoeur. Jeff, welcome back. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's always good talking baseball with you, and especially right now as we finish up the season, of course. After today, the Braves play the Diamondbacks for four, the Padres for three, and then the last six games really get to the grunt games, Philly for three and the Mets for three. Tell us what the Braves and you are thinking as you move forward.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, look, the Braves go to Arizona for four, and you have to take advantage out there. I mean, this is a 100-loss team, and, you know, you got to go in there and win three games with the offense the Braves have, their starting pitching, you know, that is your chance. And look, at the end of the day, you know, San Diego is kind of, you know, fading, falling, finding themselves almost getting close to out of this darn race, honestly, for the wild card. So, you know, if you go there next week and they might be four and a half out, and you can really take advantage of that before they come home and get the last six at home. So I still think the Braves have everything in front of them. It's just maybe going to be a little tighter than they wanted it to be, put it that way.
Well, I tell you what, the Braves have lost four in a row. Of course, Colorado went in there and really played well in Atlanta. And now you're looking in your rearview mirror because Philadelphia is only one game out. You do play Philly for three. What have you seen with Philadelphia? How have they gotten so hot so fast?
Well, you know, they're starting pitching. When they get good starts from Wheeler and Nola, you know, that is where they tend to take advantage because those guys can go deep in the games. You know, to me, that their biggest weakness, that bullpen, their bullpen sometimes in late innings has been a real struggle for them, a lot of blown saves. So, look, when their starting pitching does their job and their offense can score early, it's like anything. They get to where they're up 6-1, 6-2, and then, you know, they feel comfortable about it. But some of these close games, and some to watch, they got four with the Pirates coming up, and the Pirates are actually playing good baseball right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
Jeff Francoeur joining me on Talking Baseball. Of course, the Braves just lost two straight games here as we enter Sunday's game. And one of the biggest thing the Braves have been troubled with is runners in scoring position. 3-for-16 the first two games against the Giants yesterday. Of course, first and third, nobody out, and three punch outs by Littell. What is the issues with the Braves with runners in scoring position?
You know, it's been a mystery. You know, Brian Snicker, look, the Giants and Braves are the two most teams that rely on the long ball. And, you know, but also, if you look, the Giants have been able to at times manufacture runs and find ways, whereas the Braves have not, and it's hurt them because when they're not hitting the long ball, it's like I tell people, it always reminds me of Duke basketball. You know, when they're draining the threes, man, they get on a run back in the day. But when they went cold, they couldn't find other ways to win, and I think that's where I know Brian Snicker, the Braves manager, is really frustrated with the lack of putting the ball in play in certain situations and the situational hitting, because you were at the top of the fourth on that Saturday game, you know, first and third, middle of the lineup. I mean, you had a chance, worst case, to put one or two runs and give Charlie Morton a lead, and you weren't able to, and the Giants flipped the script, getting two runs in the bottom half of the inning. So those are little things that, you know, the Braves, to me, did so well last year when they were one game away from the World Series that this year they just haven't been able to do.
Well, Jeff, usually when teams start getting the slumps, they hit bullets right at the opposing team. And yesterday, Freddie Freeman did that a couple times. First time he's hitting under 300 for this season. What have you seen from Freddie Freeman, and why aren't balls dropping in when he's hitting?
I'll tell you what, he's hit a lot of balls hard this year. He really has. He has had some tough luck. You know what, that being said, look, Freddie's played the game long enough that he's going to keep grinding. He's going to keep putting good at-bats up. And you know, at some point, it's got to change. It's like anything. I know it seems prolonged, but you got to believe if you keep hitting the ball hard enough, at some point, it's going to find places to go. And so Freddie's kind of got to just, you know, stick with that. It's like I said, the idea for me is they got to start getting some production from the lower half of the lineup again. where you know you have more chances to score than just three, four innings a game.
Well, one of the things, Jeff, is Austin Riley. I've really starting to like him more and more each year. He's really become a great player on defensive side as well as the offensive side. Tell me your thoughts about Austin Riley.
Well, he's really coming to his own this year, and the fact that he, you know, his first 3 weeks of the season, Bill, he had no extra base hits for no power, but him and Chipper, you know, Chipper's an assistant hitting coach when the team's home, and they worked a lot in spring training about an approach, having a plan, and give credit to Austin Riley. Even after a tough first 3 weeks, he stuck to that plan, and now, you know, he is playing, I mean, phenomenal. He's driving the ball everywhere, power, average. And another thing, his defense at third base has been outstanding. I mean, he's playing Gold Glove third base D now. So it's been huge. You know, the last 2 years, you had Donaldson in 19, Ozuna in 20. You had protection behind Freddie Freeman. And this year, Austin Riley's been able to kind of provide that.
Well, one of the other players who I've really watched, you know, after the Braves and then he went over to the Marlins, is Adam Duvall. 35 home runs this year. And he's playing center field for the Braves at times. And we talked about him last time about why did the Braves let him go? And all of a sudden they trade him back. And he's got an option for next year. Is he in their center plate? Is he something that they're going to continue to keep? Or do you think he'll go free agency?
They better. I would, Bill. You let him away one time. You let him go one time and he came back. And look, he loves it here in Atlanta. Snit loves him. He fits great. So Look, I think, too, with the D, I got to believe, I think we both agree the DH is probably coming next year. Mm-hmm. And so I think with that being said, to me, it's a no-brainer to have that guy in because, you know, no matter what happens, obviously there's a situation here in Atlanta with Marcell Ozuna that's still got to get worked out. But even if Marcell comes back at some point, you know, next year or whatever happens, you're possibly going to have a DH. And people forget Adam Duvall plays a heck of an outfield. I mean, yeah. He's got a great arm. He's athletic out there. So, to me, I think after what he's shown you again coming back this year, it's a no-brainer to bring him back next year. He's been a huge piece to this team.
Well, I know yesterday Braves got shut out 2-0, which really surprised me with his potent offense. But, boy, the Giants' bullpen just went one after another, and sure enough they did. But Friday's game was such a roller coaster for both sides of the, you know, the Braves fans getting a three-run home run in the top of the ninth, and then Solano hits the home run in the bottom of the ninth. It was just a crazy game, but both teams battling all the way through extra innings. You know, those are the type of games that are playoff games. Do you agree?
100%. 100%. And that's why I'll say this, man. I give a lot of credit to the Giants. You know, people ask me how they stuck so long with the Dodgers breathing down their neck. And I said, because they win those type of games. They know how to do it. They come back. They believe in themselves. And, you know, when that's going on, man, you feel comfortable. Yeah. You love the guys. I said this, having Buster Posey, Crawford, and Belt, those guys are kind of throwing the clock back to about 5-6 years ago and having those types of years where you combine that with the mix and match of the rest of the lineup, and that's where the Giants are where they're at. And, you know, they're going to win 100 ball games here soon. And, you know, the question is, can they hold off the Dodgers? And right now they're showing you every indication that they can do that. On the other side, the Braves, those were the games last year when they had the second-best record in the National League that they won. Mm-hmm. And just for some reason this year, they're falling up short in those games. And you hope it's not going to cost them the NL East, but at some point, if it does, they can look to nights like last night. That's happened, or Friday night. That's happened 3-4 times to them this year with one out left that they've given up that big home run or big hit.
Well, a big matchup in the third game today, Max Fried against Anthony DeSclafani. Both clubs watched each other, and both of them pitch against they didn't pitch against each other, but they pitched in the three-game series in Atlanta. Max Fried going 6 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned. Buster hit that first-inning home run right down the right field line. What do you see in Max Fried today in this contest?
Well, he's going to have to step up when you lose 2 in a row. You know, the first two, you got to salvage something out there, you know, the Braves before you go to Arizona. And so, look, he's going to come at you with that hard fastball. You know, catcher's going to set up in the middle. He's going to let it sink and cut a little bit. And he's going to come with that big hook. And the pitch to me that he's really developed and has enabled him to go deep into games is that little cutter. He'll throw that little cutter slider in at about 86, and it's just keeping hitters from diving out over the plate on that fastball. So that's the great thing. When you have the Braves, Giants playing each other like this, you got great pitching matchups, and you like that. You know, it's two guys just like we saw Webb and Anderson and then Morton yesterday. Even Alex Wood was great. Obviously, we knew he was coming back off the IL, but it's always fun when you got a good pitching matchup because you feel like runs are going to be at a premium and a big hitter there could change the game. And I think you got the same thing going today. I don't expect to see a high scoring game today. I think you'd see another game at, you know, 3-1, 4-2, something like that. So it should be a great game.
Well, Jeff, after today, I'll be rooting for the Atlanta Braves to win the NL East, and hopefully down the road we'll see an NLCS right here back at Oracle with the Giants against the Braves. That would be a great, great contest. But, Jeff Francoeur, thank you so much for your time today. It was always a pleasure talking to you when the Braves come into town or the Giants entertain Atlanta in Atlanta. But good luck the rest of the way, and we'll be in check.
Thanks, Bill. Always fun, man. Always enjoy it.
All right, that was Jeff Francoeur on Talkin' Baseball, and we'll be right back on KNBR, the sports leader.